Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
The letters to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3 all have a pattern of first announcing the authority of who is speaking. Second, sharing praise of good and warnings of wrongs. Then a solution, which is always repentance. And finally, the perpetual blessing, if we will have ears to hear. Today, we are examining the depths to which Thyatira had fallen into sin and the coming judgment. So join in the conversation as we discuss how to stay strong in the face of judgment. Revelation 2:18 says, "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things, says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass." This description is a proclamation, Janie, from the mouth of God announcing his coming judgment.
And that must or should have been a wake-up call to them, because they had already had some other letters circulated to them talking about Ephesus and her not having her first love intact. They had also received a letter about Smyrna, who had to have some refining and testing. They had also read the letter to Pergamos, where they had seen the example of Pergamos just letting the world creep in so that they could have the best of both worlds. They could have the security of Jesus Christ, but they could have the fun of the world. But Sharon, we see what happens to us not only back then, but is continuing to happen today, and that is there is a slow eroding against the standard of Jesus Christ for compromise.
Well, Janie, you had said one time, what one generation does in moderation, the next generation does to the excess. And we kind of see that with these churches. There's a slow progression to destruction.
Sharon, we think our own wisdom knows what's best for us, but obviously we were not created or fashioned by us. So we really need to learn to trust our Creator in what He knows is best for the reason He's created us, the purpose, and for the enjoyment of knowing Him, having fellowship with Him, and having peace and harmony in our entire family. I talked to somebody the other day, and they had talked about having three or four sisters. And I said, it must have been so nice to have that good family relations. And I have to laugh because this lady said, no, you couldn't get four sisters to be at peace with each other for 30 minutes. We lived with nothing but strife and confusion and one-upsmanship. And I thought, how tragic that sisters who should dwell caring for one another were always at each other's throats. And so the Lord has prevented that from being something in His family for all of eternity. But we are finding out how easy it is to be deceived from just compromise into having it a way of life that we found out at Thyatira. So let's go back and just look at who the city of Thyatira really comprised. Because in the other letters that we've listened to, the other churches were known for being in areas of great arts, or was known for having
a big library.
Yes. And they also did not show forth any cultural heritage. They weren't known as being an academic center. They really didn't have a harbor for outside trade. In fact, they were located in a little valley that had no natural protection in the surroundings of fortification. So it offered no strongholds for protection. It was basically an unimportant city.
Okay.
But they did have one thing going for them. They were known for their trade guilds, which we would call trade unions today. And these unions required them to join them if they were going to be a part of being able to
buy and sell
the crafts. Yes.
Okay.
And then what happened was, because of Jezebel, and we'll get to her in a minute, she was in charge of instructing how these trade unions functioned.
Okay.
And she required them to have special meals. And these special meals always disintegrated into drunkenness and sexual immorality.
Okay.
Which she not only condoned, but she demanded, because you were not going to survive and be able to provide for your family if you didn't go by the rules of the trade union.
Well, Janie, that sounds demonic, because there's nothing that that person, Jezebel, would gain from in forcing sexual immorality on the entire union.
Well, the populace of that town was really under fear, because they had to survive.
Mm-hmm.
They had families to support. But the subtle daily pressures were causing them to go against the moral fiber of those that wanted to hold to a standard. And they were getting stressed and stretched with just physical pressures. Now, Sharon, stop and think about that today. We are having pressures put on us from outside forces. And to be able to survive, you need to have the freedom to be able to function in your trade.
Right.
In your retail business.
Right.
And it is getting pretty scary to even turn on the news and see the chaos that's becoming impossible for business owners to function.
Oftentimes what happens to us is, if we're not experiencing it on a personal level, then we put our heads in the sand and are unaware of the danger that's headed our way.
And that's what happened at Thyatira, when they didn't heed the warnings of the compromise from Pergamos. And we have to remember that all these letters were circulated between each other. In fact, I've really thought about, in teaching on Revelations 2 and 3, and how these letters were on a particular mail route, and they were all circulated amongst each other, so everyone knew what the other one's problems were and what the warnings were and the blessing. I think this may have been the first email account.
Yeah. Okay, I gotcha.
All right. So before we go on to really seeing what's happening in the false teachings in Thyatira, could we go back to Numbers 21 for just a little bit and look at the subtlety of how these things creep into us unbeknownst?
Okay. Numbers 21?
Yes. Numbers 21. Let's just start in reading on verse 3. Because the Lord's people were in a real tight situation, and they needed deliverance. And in verse 3 it says, "And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel, and delivered up the Canaanites, who were their enemies, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities." So that was a good thing. They got a supernatural deliverance when they called upon the Lord. But then, when they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, they became very discouraged, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Well, they just had a fantastic delivery from the enemy. Why are they discouraged? Because their natural circumstances. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread." Now, Sharon, does that not kind of sound like even today, where we're complaining about the lacks that we're seeing and that are probably going to become more and more evident?
Yeah.
But God was supplying them with some supernatural food called manna.
And they called it worthless bread.
It didn't taste good. Once again, okay. Our senses, our physical comfort, and I know we may be over-explaining the times we're living in, But there's so many people that are not connecting the dots, and they are murmuring even when God is still sustaining us.
And supplying
the needs. So if we are not thankful for the way the Lord preserves His children, then the Lord has to give us a wake-up call.
Oh, that is so good, Janie. Because I think what happens to us sometimes is that we start looking at other people and how they are supplied, and we don't see how God supplies to us. Like in the wilderness, their shoes never wore out. And so maybe you don't have physical cash, but you're not having to spend cash either because your shoes aren't wearing out. And the oil just keeps multiplying in the bottle. So there's a way that God supplies that He chooses to supply for each one of us.
And Sharon, when we are not thankful for that because He's not supplying the way we want it in the abundance and the amount and the style that we want, then we go against His grace. We complain against His sufficiency and His heart of love.
Yeah.
So what must God do? Well, He needs to get our attention. So in Numbers 21, He just sent some snakes and they bit people and the people died. And you know, for those that didn't die, death has a real way of getting our attention, doesn't it?
Yes.
The people begged Moses to call on God to do something. So God had Moses make a bronze serpent, hold it up high on a long pole, and whoever looked upon that bronze serpent would be healed.
Well, Janie, if we go back to verse 7, it says that the people went to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He take away the serpents from us." So that statement is repentance. They are repenting and wanting to make a change.
That's excellent that you said that, because, you know, the people had to come to a point of need before they were willing to repent. And we need to be looking at where we are today. Instead of complaining about something, we need to be saying, is this a wake-up call?
Right. So true.
Rather than blaming the Lord because we don't like our circumstances, we need to be humbling ourselves before Him and saying, what are You wanting to show us today? Not complain that you are not doing what we think you should do. We've got it turned upside down, Sharon.
Right. So that when judgment does come on those who are not following Him, that we can stay strong and we can stand in the midst of that judgment.
And it's so easy to, once you have seen your need and repented, when the comfort returns, so does the compromise.
Sad but true.
There is a really interesting part that I did not really recognize until studying on this, Sharon, and that is when people did look upon the fiery serpent, they were healed, all right?
Okay.
So what happens? So the Israelites decide to keep this pole with a bronze serpent on it, and they keep it, Sharon, for close to 800 years. They carry it around. And they start to use it as a tool of worship.
So is it still healing people?
No, but they are calling it into remembrance as a tool of idol worship.
Mm.
It served its purpose. Its purpose was that people would repent and be healed.
Right.
They were. They returned to the Father God. Now let's move forward. But instead, They hung on to it. So finally, when King Hezekiah got to the throne, he saw what was happening, and he took that symbol of worship, false worship, and he broke it into pieces because the Israelites had started to burn incense to it and even gave it a name for it to be a god to them.
Wow.
So they turned a piece of bronze into an object of worship. But Sharon, subtly, that can still be happening today. because we can make an idol out of anything or anybody.
Well, that's true.
Even ourselves.
Oh.
And when we do that, we call it narcissism. That is when we are number one and everything revolves around us, and we must worship ourselves for our own esteem, for our own importance. Self becomes number one. And anytime anything replaces the true worship of God being number one, we have an idol.
And we're in trouble.
And we're in trouble. But have we ever thought that we make an idol unto ourselves?
No, I hadn't thought of that one.
And the world gives it a name. The world recognizes it. The world calls it narcissism. And the church is guilty of that as much as the world.
So that was kind of Jezebel's problem too, right?
Absolutely. And that's why God's anger is vented against her. She claimed to be a prophetess, even though we know because she didn't follow the ways of the Lord, she was false. And Sharon, in discussing this, we believe that there probably really was a woman at Thyatira that was acting as Jezebel did, as the original Jezebel that was going to kill Elijah and destroy all the prophets. And we just need to remember that she was so powerful that Elijah ran from her when she threatened him. And sometimes Jezebel can be representative of a world religious system.
Okay.
And the world religious system will be full of false prophets. And we are told in Timothy, 2 Timothy, that in the last days perilous times would come and we would be laden with false prophets.
And lovers of self.
And we are seeing that in today's society where we are choosing, even in the church, to say, well, you know, yes, the Bible has parts in it that's from the Word of God, but it's just not all the Word of God. We can pick and choose what we want.
So it's not authoritative anymore.
That's excellent way, yes. So because Jezebel promoted this, she really was one of the most evil characters of the Old Testament because she successfully combined the worship of Israel with the worship of a false god, Baal. She wanted to stamp out all true worship of God and influence her weak husband, Ahab. He wasn't doing what she wanted, so she took charge and ran the show. And that angered the Lord because she was the epitome of corruption and a symbol of immorality and idolatry.
That's quite a resume.
Her ways had not only violated the moral law of God, but caused the people to sin against the covenant relationship with their Lord.
Okay.
Now, Sharon, we need to know for historic value that this is the church that was active during the Middle Ages when the Word of God was hidden from the people of God.
Okay.
And you could only hear anything that was written supposedly from God from an earthly spokesman who then interpreted it the way he wanted to.
So they didn't have the privilege of his written word in their hand.
And Sharon, we can thank the Lord that we still have complete freedom to study the Word of God and that it's available to us today.
That's right.
But Sharon, let's move towards what was good about Thyatira.
Okay.
They were trusting the Lord. Their deeds were honoring to Him. We know that they had love that was going on in their assembly. They were giving service with perseverance. And they were doing more in the latter part than what they had done in the former. And God was going to honor that because He promised them tremendous blessings as overcomers. And we need to study those overcomers when we can really break it down in great detail. But Sharon, what we need to do today is let's give some practical advice as to just how to daily stand strong.
Okay.
So if I was to tell somebody in a counseling session, here's how I want you to apply understanding the greatness of your God, the sufficiency of your God, and His provisions, Here's what I'd like for you to do. Think about your thinking. Don't allow just any random thought to come into your brain and process that as something that is something that you need to accept. Examine your beliefs. Examine them in the light of the Scripture. Do you realize 2/3 of our New Testament is giving us instructions on how to walk with God in victory, but we don't apply them? So the first thing is start to think different.
What we tend to do is anything we think, we run with, and that can bring fear, disappointment. It can bring emotional roller coasters.
Okay, and so now that would be the next step. Don't ride the roller coaster. Start to examine your emotions when they hit because they have been triggered from something you've been thinking.
Right.
And then those emotions are going to have feelings. And we know that if you let feelings be the final authority, that will lead to deception. Yeah. But Sharon, we need to be still and be quiet before the Lord to let Him examine our hearts as to what we're feeling, because we have been so used to trusting our feelings that that can be the greatest tool to keep us from being able to stand strong.
That is so true.
And then we have to be willing to quit just having a 10-minute devotional. If we're not willing to become students of the Word,
right,
examine, tear it apart when it looks like there's a contradiction, search it out.
Right.
Because we know that God is not inconsistent in His written word. And then, right, Sharon, sometimes when we're surrounded as the church of Thyatira and the influence that she and the church was having on all of the saints, we need to be willing to make prayer a priority.
Oh, that's good.
Just not a pastime or, Lord, here's what I'm thinking today. Help me, Jesus. I'm off and running.
Right.
And then we need to balance out how much we serve publicly or one another before we have served the heart of God.
Oh, that's a point that needs to be explained, because there are so many people who are serving others in the name of the Lord by their flesh, and they have not spent the time in serving God first in their heart before they go out and serve physically.
When you serve God in your heart first, the tranquility, the peace, the calm, the desire to just know Him will control you. But when you need self-acceptance, when you need to know you're doing okay by the way you perform, when you're looking at kudos from the saints that you're serving, but you want to hear what they are saying about how you are blessing them,
right,
then you're not serving the Lord first. But when His heart and your desire to know Him, and Sharon, we've got to always keep Philippians 3:10 at the forefront, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection.
And the fellowship of His suffering.
So Sharon, when we really put the Lord first, there is a hungering to know the resurrected life, as we are now to be living in resurrection life for the eternally, but practically applying it now. It is ours because of everything that Jesus Christ has done. And then as we choose by faith to ask Him to let Him be our first love, because that's really what we're going back to.
Yeah, Ephesus.
Then He will honor that. And then life will take on a new glow, a new essence, a new fragrance, because He is number one. And we're not being deceived by the enemy as keeping ourselves number one in serving others, but not according to the mind of God.
Well, and that gives us some steps that we can take in knowing how to stand strong in the midst of judgment and adversity. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, SHARIN, Hearts, HEARTS.org.